1 to 8 and 13, so almost the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. And when we talk about true spirituality, you cannot miss this aspect, love. Love is so important when it comes to what is true spirituality. So 1 Corinthians 13, and that's where we'll begin our reading this morning and then go into the Word of God. If you're a visitor with us, I really encourage you to fill out one of those cards and let us know who you are. And summertime, it's very hard kind of connecting with people. We have so many people who are visiting and trying to discover who's a visitor and who's a new person that moved into our community. We will be having a soup and bun probably in September, just a time to get everybody together and talk to each other and just see who's who in the church again. And but if you are new, God bless you, and just pray that the Lord will just strengthen you and help you and just pour out his blessings mightily upon you. 1 Corinthians 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Father, I just pray that you would anoint your word this morning. I pray that, Lord, that you would open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. That, Lord, not necessarily that people would hear what I'm saying, but, Lord, they would hear what the Spirit of God is saying through me. And I pray that, Lord, that your truth would just be revealed to us, and that, Lord, that you would just draw us closer here this morning. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst. Thank you that, Lord, that even as we look at your word, that, Lord, you're still able to touch us. You're still able to minister to us. You're still able to bring healing to us. You're still able, Lord, to speak a fresh word into our hearts and into our lives today. Lord, you really are the answer that we need. You are the answer that we are seeking. And Lord, if there'd be that person here today that maybe they have come here today because, Lord, they've been seeking for answers. They've been looking and they've been wondering that, Lord, what should I do? Do you really exist? Are you real? And Lord, they came here today because they were searching. And Father, I just pray that would just be a confirmation to them that, Lord, you know all about it. You know all about their circumstance. You know all about their situation. And that, Lord, that you're here and that you will minister to them. You will help them. That you are their answer to that need that they have today. In Jesus' name, amen. Over these last few months, my messages have been more so about prayer and the Word of God, the Bible. And those two things are strong basics of our faith. And I really do feel that God wants us to cover the basics of the faith. God wants to remind us that these things are crucial to our faith. He wants to remind us that they are important in our lives and they need to be present in our lives at all times. Priorities. And it's all part of really being ready for that next wave of God's presence. I really believe that as we've been experiencing the presence of God in this church, I really enjoy coming in here and just praying. Yesterday morning as I woke up, I just felt God call me, come up to the church and just pray. And I did that. And then as I was finishing up the night, I was rather tired and I just felt, just come and finish this night. and just pray. There's been a wonderful presence that has been in this church. And God wants to increase that. There is a new wave of his presence that will be much more powerful, much stronger, that's going to come to this church. But if we want to experience that, then God's saying you need to make sure that these basics are covered. See, you cannot sustain your Christian walk without prayer. You cannot sustain your Christian walk without time in the Word of God. They are must. And this morning I was going to speak about the Word of God again, but I just felt the Lord just redirecting me quickly to impress upon me to speak about another basic of the faith that really needs to define us as believers, and that is love. True spirituality is love. See, love is the most important quality. It's the most basic of our faith. It's a true sign of our spirituality. And the Bible tells us that it's that characteristic that the world would recognize that we are Christians, because they will see this quality of love. And God wants to remind us, not just here in this church, but believers everywhere, of this virtue of love. Love is true spirituality. And as we look at our world today and all the things that are happening in our world, especially in North America, it seems, love is what is needed. Our world is yielding itself to spirits of hatred, entitlement, protest, offenses, prejudice, accusations, personal rights, and the enemy is just having a heyday. And his desire is to rob, kill, destroy. And you've seen that on your news, that that's exactly what is happening as those things are occurring in our world. People are dying. That's the enemy. That's his signature that is out there. Our world, in many ways, is out of control, being convinced that they're doing what is right in their own eyes. And of course, the Bible tells us that in the last days that many would be deceived in that way, and that the world will just begin to fight for all these things, their rights. But they're doing things that are right in their eyes. There is no moral compass that is left in our world today, and it needs to return. But as we see that happening in our world today, we also see that it's also happening in Christianity, and that Christianity is also getting caught up in that place where Christians have lost their moral compass. Christians have gotten to that place where we want to get in all those protests as well, and we blame and we accuse, just as the world is. And in many ways, the church in North America has lost its focus compared to the focus of the church in many other parts of the world. See, our world is saying today, or I should say our North American society is saying today, well, it's too much to be expected of a Christian that they should pray daily. It's too much to be expected of a Christian that they should spend time in the Word of God daily. It's too much to expect a Christian to go to church. It's too much to expect a Christian to live a righteous life today. It's just too much for the Christian to love everybody. And that list goes on and on and on. And it's interesting that as you looked in the history of the Israelites, and as the Israelite kingdom got divided, and we see that Jeroboam took that division of the Israelites away from Judah, and that he did the very same thing. He began to tell the people, it's too much for you to go back to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. It's too much for you to, you know, inconvenience yourself to do this. And he put up a golden calf and said, here is your God at Bethel. Here is another spiritual place. Use this place instead. And all that part of Israel walked away from God. There is a plan of the enemy. And his plan is to destroy the church. But thank God, the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail. Praise his name. God wants to bring the church. He wants to bring Christians everywhere back into focus, reminding us of the basics and what is true spirituality. See, we must have the basics before we even experience that next wave of God's presence that's going to unfold. Hosting his presence is really key to all that we desire to see happen in our world. And that's where I want to go today. back to some basics of what is true spirituality. And this time I want to focus on love. Love. Now, first of all, when we talk about true spirituality, we need to talk about love for God. It's very important for us to love our God. If we want to talk about spirituality, well, if we don't know God, if we don't love God, then there's really no point of talking about a spirituality because we don't have any spirituality. We need to love God. True spirituality, it starts with loving God. After all, it is the first commandment. Matthew 22, 37, 38, Jesus says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." This is a first and greatest commandment. You know, as Christians, sometimes we can seek a lot of different things that are spiritual, that are good. And yet God is reminding us, listen, if you really want to experience true spirituality, if you're wanting to experience the presence of God to a greater level, then you need to come back to your first love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If we could have pointed out to the passages of Scripture in the book of Revelation as Jesus is talking about the church, and that was one of the first problems that Jesus addressed. He said, listen, you've lost your first love. You think you got everything under control. You think you got things that are good. You've lost your first love. And God's reminding us as a church, saying, don't forget your first love. Love the Lord your God with your all. All means all. All. So many have watered this down to serve God to the place when it's convenient. I'll serve Jesus when it's convenient. I'll get around for doing things for God when it's convenient. No, that's not what God says at all. God says, love the Lord. Love the Lord with your all. And please remember, the Bible says this is the first and most important commandment. I don't think it really can be any clearer than that. True spirituality begins and ends with loving God. That's basic Christianity, 101 Christianity. You must love the Lord. Our love for God is to be first in our lives. There are to be no substitutes, and that can be hard at times because there are so many things in our world today that can distract us and take over our time if we're not careful. God needs to be first. That's the end of it. God needs to be first. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6, 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the Lord. Effort is required. True spirituality starts with seeking and loving our God. He's the priority. He's your number one love. No other gods before him. And that's where true spirituality begins and ends with us and loving God. If we're going to be hosting the presence of God in our lives and in this church, God is telling us that love for God has to be a must. It's a must. You must have it. Secondly, true spirituality is loving others. 1 Corinthians 13 kind of makes that very clear, that if we do not love others, then we have nothing. There is no spirituality. If you can't love your brother or sister, you can't love that person that you see outside there in the world, God's telling us you got nothing. You don't have spirituality at all. So often we look at various things in our lives that we call spiritual, and God doesn't call them spiritual at all. God said, if you want to show spirituality, then you will love others. Listen to those words again. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. If I speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that could move mountains but didn't love others, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I'd have gained nothing. Those are some pretty serious areas. Because as I look at all those areas, I think you probably agree with me that those are areas that we often associate with spirituality. That these are spiritual things that Christians can do. But God is saying, hey, you need to have a different focus here on what is true spirituality, because true spirituality is not those things. It's love for others. It's interesting that the author compares love for others against the things that we consider as spiritual, especially as Pentecostals and as charismatic people. Because, you know, we do. We love the gift of tongues. I love to pray in tongues. We like the gift of prophecy. I love that we can encourage and speak words of encouragement to people. I'm thankful for the many hundreds of words of prophecy that have been spoken over my life. I love the gifts of knowledge and of wisdom. I love to see that mountain moving faith and would desire even more. We love to see generosity. We love to see sacrifices that we do for God. Those are all kind of some charisma-style gifts from God that we promote, that we believe, and that we attribute spirituality to. But sometimes I think that we're guilty of attributing spirituality in this area when God is saying, no, that doesn't make you spiritual. We think it does. God's saying what makes you spiritual is loving others. See, he doesn't define spirituality the same way that we do. He defines spirituality by loving others, not by our gifts. And too much today is all about performance in Christianity, the use of our gifts in Christianity. And we place such a high importance on them for spirituality where God's saying, you're missing it. You're missing it, friends. You're missing it. Seek me. Love me. Love others. That's where true spirituality really is. And I believe that God is challenging us afresh. And what is true spirituality? It's not our gifts. It is our love for others that marks us as spiritual. It is our love for others that will help us to host the presence of God in our lives and in this church. Our love for others. Doing something for others. Inconveniencing yourself to do something. That's why that barbecue is quite important. It's more important than what you realize. Because yes, it is inconvenient. Yes, it is a lot of work. Yes, it is an expense. But you're doing something for people you don't even know. And you're blessing people you don't even know. That's what God's looking for. Remember that the second commandment, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. It's equally important as loving God. So you can't have true spirituality without it. And if that's not clear enough, read the book of 1 John. I almost think that maybe that should be a new Bible study that we do here in the fall. But 1 John, it's only 5 chapters, but very powerful chapters that really do tell us and remind us what is true Christianity. What is true spirituality? It's a powerful book, short book. 1 John 4, 20, 21 says it very well. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, listen what the Word of God says. That person is a liar. That's pretty strong language. If you say that, yeah, yes, I love God, I love Jesus, but there's a person that you hate, especially another believer, God says you're a liar. That's pretty powerful. So if we don't love people that we can see, he says, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he's given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And it's interesting in Scripture that God brings it to the place that he reminds us that this doesn't just extend to those outside the church, it also extends inside the church. Because sometimes we get to that place that we can have a great love for the world, that we would do anything for the world. We would make sacrifices for the world that they would be saved, and yet our brother and sister in Christ may be hurting and we do absolutely nothing. Jesus is reminding us what true spirituality really is. So if we or someone claims that they are spiritual and they hate a fellow believer, the Bible says you're living a lie. Just because you can flow in your gifting does not mean God is looking over your offense or that your behavior doesn't matter. Too many Christians are making that mistake, believing the lie that things are okay with God because, you know what, God's still using you. Things are still happening with you. You need to remind yourself that loving others is the very basic foundation. You cannot have spirituality without that. And if you move away from that, you're in trouble. And actually, as you look to the scriptures, it kind of tells us quite plainly there how much trouble you can get in. 1 John 3:10 says, so now we can tell who are the children of God and who are children of the devil. That's pretty strong language there. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's some pretty powerful words there. Basic stuff, but also very serious stuff. If you do not love others, especially other believers, the Bible says you do not belong to God. The true measure of spirituality is love for others, especially other believers. And if that has lapsed in our lives, then you know what? We're headed for an uncertain eternity, not realizing that we have left God behind in our search for spirituality. What a terrible thing it would be to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and find out that we do not belong to God because we neglected the basics of our faith to love one another. True spirituality is loving others, and especially people of the faith. It's way more important than what we think. It's the very thing that we need to keep hosting even the presence of God in our own church. Love others. Then thirdly, true spirituality is love in action, not just words. There are many people claiming they are Christians, but they lack the qualities or the actions that would prove that they have come into a relationship with Christ. And so we have that little slogan, all talk, no action. Well, if we truly experience the love of God in our lives, there's going to be some new qualities that rise up in our lives. There's going to be some actions that kind of match those qualities of what true love is. And as we read the scriptures here, it tells us, just in case we don't know what they would be, what kind of qualities or actions that people should see in us, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 helps us out again. Tells us this is how, what should mark us as Christians. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Think about those words. Should bring back to us the reality of what is love? What is love? Love is patience. Love is kindness. Love is not getting jealous of your brother or your sister. Love is not being prideful. Love is not being rude or impatient with people. It keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, it love forgives. Love doesn't rejoice when bad things happen. Love never gives up on people. Love doesn't write people off. Love hopes right until the end. You know, we read this passage of scripture a lot at our weddings, as we perform our wedding. Probably most people that have had a wedding have heard this scripture being read. But this needs to be more than just in our own relationship with our spouse. It needs to be with everyone. Love. These qualities and actions, you really do need to mark our lives and are the determining factors of our actions in regard to what is true spirituality. And again, this is serious stuff. We don't take this sometimes as serious. We've been kind of watering down the gospel that you don't have to take it all that serious. And friend, that's a lie. That's a very dangerous lie to start believing that it doesn't matter. It does matter. Listen again, 1 John 3. As I encourage you, read the book of 1 John. It's only 5 chapters. It says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we'll be confident when we stand before God. Here it is again. It's talking about that day of accountability. That day when we will stand before the Lord and we give an account for what we've done. So it's not, again, it's talking about that standing before the Lord that he's going to be looking for love. He's going to see, talk to us about what were our actions. What kind of things did we do? And he's going to be looking for those areas of love. These very words that are spoken in 1 Corinthians 13. That's important. Our spirituality is important. True spirituality is love and action. Action is needed, and we need to show love and action. And as we show love and action, I believe that we'll be hosting the presence of God more in our own lives and also in this church. And then lastly, true spirituality needs to be defined by loving God with obedience. See, you really can't talk about love for God without talking about obedience. They go together, for obedience is the proof that we actually love God. When we choose to disobey God, it shows to us that there are areas in our lives that we still need to work on. True spirituality, true love, is marked by obedience. And as we learn to walk more and more in obedience, you're going to see more and more of the presence of God in your life and also more in the church. John 14, 23, 24 says, Jesus says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them. We will come and make our home with each of them. Man, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. He's really saying it very simply. If you love God, you'll obey him. Really is that simple. If you don't love God, you'll disobey him. So all you need to do is really to look at what you're doing. Your actions, your obedience or disobedience will tell you where you stand with God. Now I realize that there are numbers of Christians today that are doing things that are displeasing to God, they're disobedient to God, but they're still flowing in their giftings and ministries and still having some good results. How can that happen? It's quite simple. It's called the grace of God, and it's called God honors his word. Even though you may not be honoring it, but as you speak it, God will honor it as it goes out. God will protect his presence. And we need to be careful that we don't deceive ourselves or get to that place that we kind of look at our results as God's approval. Sometimes we do that and we think that God is saying that your behavior is okay because, you know what, God's still using you. And too many are doing that even in our ministries today. I want to tell you something that's also happening in ministry today. God's exposing people. God's exposing people. And you're seeing people fall. There's been some pretty mighty men and women of God that have fallen these last few years. Why did they fall? Not because they confessed, because they got exposed. Then they confessed. So God, there's two ways, you know, that God will deal with us in our sin. He will deal with us privately and continue to convict us and speak to us about dealing with an area in our life. And if we continue to keep throwing it aside, then there will come a day where God will expose it. And then you really will have to deal with it. See, we all need to deal with those issues of obedience. We all need to deal with those issues of love. Because you can't have one without the other. Obedience and love go together. Again, how serious is this? Is it serious at all? Well, we already read that in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, and actually those first three verses there. If I speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So it's talking here that you can function in the gifts of the Spirit and actually not be in tune with God. And what happens is when the love is missing or obedience is missing, you might be able to continue to act in that gift. But as far as God is concerned, you're nothing but a noisy sound, something that's very annoying to him. And our service to God and what we're doing means absolutely nothing. Matthew 7, 21, 23, that verse stands out even more clear to us and should cause us as Christians to have some fear rise up in ourselves as we examine our behaviors and our love for God. Listen to what it says. It's a very powerful scripture. A lot of people don't want to use this scripture anymore because they're just saying, no, it's all covered. Don't worry about your life. You don't need to do a whole lot to serve God anymore. Listen to what it says. Again, it's talking about when we stand before the Lord. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. What happened here? These people are definitely what I would consider spiritual, what you would consider spiritual. They were prophesying. They were casting out demons. They were performing miracles. And we see that yet God rejects them. What happened? They weren't doing the will of God. Somewhere in that life where they've had that ministry, they began to forsake the Lord. They began to trust in giftings and abilities over trusting in Him. There's only one head, friends. It's the Lord. He's the head of the church. We need to keep that focus upon Him. The Bible tells us that even if we may be doing things that are spiritual, if we fail to deal with the issues of God's will in our lives and continue down that road where we excuse our behavior because we deceive ourselves thinking that because I still flow in my gift, God's going to still bless me and use me and I'm okay. See, God doesn't bless sin. And the Bible says He's looking for people who will humble themselves, do His will, and live by obedience. So what happened to these individuals? Probably people that got tired of church. People that kind of got that place that don't want to do the work anymore, don't want to do the basics anymore. You cannot leave the basics. You might think, oh, well, it's boring. It's boring to pray. It's boring. I like this other stuff. Sorry. God says we need to pray. I think He's calling us back to prayer. I believe He's calling this church back to prayer. There's been more and more people that have been just coming to the church at various times of the day and just spending time in prayer. I know that there's many of you that have been spending more time in prayer in your homes or even as you're driving, you're just sensing the presence of God and calling out to you to say, you need to pray. You need to seek me more. It's about obedience. It's about obedience. We've got to get that in our heads. It's about obedience that we listen to what the Lord's telling us to do. Too often, we only do what we want to do. That's just normal life, right? That's who we are as individuals. Of course, we like doing the things we like to do or the things we want to do. But we need to submit ourselves to what God wants to do. Even if those other things look spiritual, bring ourselves back. And God is calling us back to the basics. Prayer, the Word, love. Very important. Very important. Now, obviously, disobedience is something that's very serious to God and should be serious to us as well. And you know, this passage of Scripture is not speaking to the world. It's speaking to Christians. The world's not flowing in those gifts. It would be Christians. So that's a word to Christians. And I really believe God is telling us as Christians to be cautious of thinking that we're more spiritual than what we really are. I believe that God is calling us to stop calling people spiritual when we know that they're disobedient and to stop excusing their sinful behavior because God's not excusing it. And God says He's going to hold us all accountable. God's presence cannot be sustained if we're disobedient. Spirituality, loving God, is defined by obedience. God is wanting to host His presence, wanting us to host His presence. I believe as a church and also as individuals. But sinful things are not going to be tolerated anymore. I've been seeing that even in our own church, how God has been dealing with individuals and things have been coming to light that have not been right. And God's been exposing some things. You're not hearing about them because we're not advertising what sin is. We want to advertise what God is and what love is. So true spirituality is loving God with obedience. If you love Him, you'll obey Him. Now in closing, I believe this has kind of gone into a more serious note. But I believe that God does want us to be serious, more serious in our relationship with Him. I believe He really wants us to get back to this focus of what are our basics of our faith. Because I believe as Christians, we're starting to leave a lot of those basics. We're getting to flow in our knowledge and our giftings that we can do that now without spending that time in prayer. You know, we have talents and things that we can do that we can do that without practice anymore because we're gifted. God's kind of saying, don't forget your basics. You still need to practice. You still need to go to those things of prayer. You still need that time in the Word of God. And love is huge. It's huge. Huge. And really is that indicator of spirituality. I really strongly believe that God is wanting us to host His presence to a greater level. And that's what I felt the Lord say to me this morning as I was going over my message. He told me, just stop for a while. Go have breakfast. Then I'm going to speak to you some more. And that's what He started adding to this message. It's about hosting His presence to a greater level. I really believe there's going to be a greater level of the presence of God in this church. It's going to grow to that extent that you will start seeing people get healed, delivered, saved, changed, transformed right in the service. Nobody's praying for them. Nobody's touching them. No one's laying hands on them. The Lord's presence will take care of it. I really believe that's going to happen. It is happening already, but it's going to happen in a much greater way. God is wanting us to host His presence more, to seek His presence more. You can't do that without spending time in prayer. You can't do that without getting in there into the Word of God and getting more of the Word in you. You can't do that without love. Loving Him, loving others by our actions. God's wanting to do that. The basics have to be there. Real spirituality needs to be present. And so God is telling us to examine our spirituality. But He's also telling us to stop excusing sin, rebellion, and calling things spiritual that are not spiritual at all. You can't have true spirituality without prayer. You can't have true spirituality without spending time in the Word of God. You can't have true spirituality without love. Loving God, loving others, and loving God with action. You can't have true spirituality without loving God in obedience. Then a little one to add, you can't host God's presence or experience more of His presence without those basics. Friends, as we close here this morning, I know we're a church that wants more. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know we have so many folks in this church. They want more. They're pursuing it. We desire it. I'm not giving up on that desire. I want more of God. I want to experience more of that presence. But I keep hearing Him tell me over and over and over again through these summer months, go back to the basics. You got to get those basics right. If you don't get the basics right, then everything else just goes out. So let us pursue prayer. Let us pursue the Word of God. Let us pursue love. Because there's a new level of His presence that God's wanting us to experience. And love's important. Three things that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So as our musicians come back to the instruments, maybe you want to come and just have some prayer today, or maybe you just want to come and just spend some time with the Lord, enjoy His presence. You're more than welcome to do that as they start to sing. But I really want you to encourage you to just to think about these things. Because we're all guilty of considering spirituality sometimes. We've attributed people to be spiritual because of certain things that they do. And we've kind of closed our eyes to the important stuff. Prayer. The Word of God. Love. Those are so important. God wants to do a whole lot more in our church. I know that the presence of God in this church has been powerful. I love coming here. It's not just a job to me. I love being here in His presence. There is a beautiful sense of presence of God in this church. I know when I came in here this morning and they were practicing and they got to that part of that song where they're saying, "Great is the Lord," I had chills just coming down. I was just in the room where you give there, and you can give by debit or credit card, and I was in there giving, and I wasn't getting chills because I was giving. I was getting chills because I just began to feel the presence of God. And I just felt the coming out of here and flowing out to those doors and going right into where that debit room was. And I was just enjoying it. I said, "Yes, this is what I desire. This is what I want." And that's what God wants for us too. He wants the presence to be greater. It's going to increase. It's going to increase. But as it does, He's going to work on us even more. And He's going to get down to some nitty-gritty in our lives. And it's going to be down to the basics things. Prayer life, your study life, your love life, just basics of faith, just basics. Friends, you can't experience all that other stuff without those basics. And He's calling us to say, let's watch those things, because He wants to increase the presence in your life and in the church. If we would start doing that, you got a barbecue coming. How many testimonies have there been of people that said, "I drove by your church and I felt compelled to come in"? How many times we need to hear that before we start to believe that God's doing something? God's doing something. He's doing something. It's interesting that our district this year, there's always a time of prayer in September that they have. And we have a day of prayer, and they kind of separate it to Edmonton and Calgary. This year they changed. They added one more place. St. Paul, Alberta. Bethel Family Worship Center. The district wants to have a prayer meeting here in this church. Our district wants to gather ministers in this area and have a personal time with our superintendent. They want to use this church. They're telling me they're hearing some things about this church. Something's happening. You may not even realize it yourself, but something is happening. Something is being stirred. People are going to start coming. I don't want to be kind of figuring out, sitting in the sidelines, figuring out what's going on. I want to be right there in the thick of it. Man, I want to be there where the presence of God is. I want to be saturated in His presence more and more and more. I want more of that. So does God. So that's why God says, back to your basics. Sounds simple. That's the simple things that really bring us the greatest results. Let love rise. Let love rise. And we have a, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, there'd be a new passion of love. Lord, that we'd have a new passion for the people that are outside our church. That there'd be a love, Lord, that would just start to grow, that would compel us, Lord, to reach out to them and to love them even more. We pray that, Lord, that there'd be that new desire that, Lord, as we look at people, maybe that we consider they're not lovely. They're the unlovelies of our world. God, you've been calling out to us to say, you need to love them. I'm calling you to love the unlovely. So, Lord, would you help us? That, Lord, we'd have a new passion and a desire to love the unlovely. Father, I pray that you would give us a new desire to love one another, because sometimes, Lord, we're guilty as Christians that we love the world and want to reach them more than we want to minister to our own people. And so, Lord, I pray for a greater love to arise in this congregation, that, Lord, there'd be a stirring inside of us. That, Lord, we'd start reaching out to one another even more. We'd start calling people and just saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" Or, Lord, that you would start giving us prophetic words, that we could give a word to somebody, give a scripture to somebody, give them a revelation. Just to call and say, "You know what? Last night I was praying for you, and I was just praying, and then all of a sudden your name came to mind, and I just want to let you know I was praying for you yesterday." So, Lord, I pray for a new love to rise up in our own congregation. A new passion, new desire to love one another. Thank you, God, that there's good soil in this church. It's good soil. And Lord, you're finding good things in here, and you are ministering to us. But Lord, you want to take us higher. Yes, we've been saying we want to go higher. We sometimes don't understand that, what we ask. But Lord, we do realize today that yes, you want to take us higher. You want to increase the presence. You want us to host the presence of God in a greater way. That what we have been seeing, that Lord, it would increase. It would increase. And Lord, I sense it even in my own spirit. It's increasing. It's increasing. And God, I would say, I want more. I want more. Help me to step into the more of God. Help me step more, Lord. Help me to get that prayer in there, Lord, that I would pray, that I would seek you. Help me, Lord, to get into your word and to read that word and get that word deep inside of me. Help me, Lord, to love. Help me to love. And help me, Lord, to stand against all those temptations that, Lord, would want me to do not to love. Let love rise in this church, Lord. Let love rise in this church. Just let it rise, Lord. A new passion, a new desire in this whole area, Lord. Even for people, Lord, that have wronged us or hurt us or Lord, have not been good to us, I just pray a new love to arise. New love to arise, Lord. We just speak new love in Jesus' name. New love in Jesus' name. Bring us back, Lord, to our first love as well. Where, Lord, you mean everything to us. You're more important than anything else. Help us, Lord, come back to that first love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us stand together as we close. And if you have other plans and you need to go, then you are dismissed as we start to sing here. Thank you for being in the house of God. But if you're also here and there are just some things that you're facing and say, man, I just need some prayer. Well, this is a place of prayer. We have a prayer team that can come and just come. Ask a prayer team that you just come along the front and then you can just start praying with people right away and just encouraging them and speaking into their lives. And that's important to us. That's important to us. You're welcome to do that. If you have to go, blessings on you. If you just want to stay and linger for a while, that's okay. What greater thing can we do than linger in His presence? The greatest times when God speaks is just lingering in His presence. It really is. And He's wanting to do so much more. Friends, there have been so many people in this congregation that have been telling me that they've been encountering the Lord. They've been encountering Him at nighttime. They've been encountering Him in dreams. They've been encountering Him in visions. They've been encountering Him even as they're laying on their bed and all of a sudden the presence of God is coming into their room. That's going to happen more. God wants that to happen more. That they're not just a little experience here or there, but more of it. I tell you, it's wonderful. It's wonderful when that happens, when the presence of God comes in. I've been experiencing it many times myself at nighttime when I'm sleeping, sometimes I wake up and all of a sudden the presence of God is there. And it's just all over you. And it's just so wonderful and so great. God wants it to increase. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Come, Lord, if you want prayer. We have referred to Him already up here. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.